Stardate, December 19th. Saturn's Festival. Stay with us.
Your friends here at 90.1 FM will donate a record in your name to a child spending Christmas in a Long Island hospital. All it takes is a postcard. Keep listening to WUSB Stony Brook for details.
Stardate December 19th. Today marks the beginning of Saturnalia, an ancient Roman celebration. The ancients honored Saturn with this festival, not the planet, but the god of harvest for whom the planet was named. Some historians call the Saturnalia the earliest Christmas. They think we celebrate Christmas when we do because of this ancient festival. Most scholars think that Jesus wasn't born in December. Instead, he probably was born in the spring. We have Christmas now instead of spring for a reason that stems from the earliest years of Christianity. Early Christians probably tried to escape notice by celebrating the Nativity during the riotous festivities of the Roman Saturnalia. During the Roman Empire, the Saturnalia was extended from 1 to 7 days. That made it end around December 25th, Christmas Day for us. And the Romans exchanged gifts for Saturnalia, just as we do for Christmas. So some Christmas traditions might stem from the Saturnalia, but the date of Christmas also is tied to the date of the winter solstice, which brings the longest night of the year. Here's one reason why. After the solstice, the days grow longer. Longer days, more light. The solstice brings a kind of psychological victory of light over dark. By the way, speaking of Saturnalia and of Saturn, you can see the planet Saturn now in the pre-dawn sky. Look Sunday morning, and you'll see the planet side by side with the waning crescent moon. Stardate is produced for the University of Texas MacDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip is 78712. For the MacDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
I spend Monday afternoons here at 90.1 FM. And on behalf of everyone here at WUSB in Stony Brook, I'd like to wish you all a very happy holiday season.
If he's here on Monday afternoons, why is he here now?
I don't understand, but there he is, and he's gone now. Just leaving behind a bunch of singing dogs.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
I've been hearing a lot of these singing dogs lately, especially on this radio station.
You know, I never did bring my copy of that single in. It has Oh Susanna on the
what?
Other side.
Oh Susanna's on the flip side?
Yeah.
Is there a whole album devoted to singing dogs?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy. 3 minutes after 12 o'clock, and you're...
Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley. If you're wondering why we're laughing like this, it's because, well, are you going to tell them or should I?
Because I have hiccups?
You have hiccups. Again.
I don't know why.
Second time we've ever...
I think it's the third. And the phones are lighting up. Are you looking at the phone because it's lighting up?
Well, hiccups on the air is a controversial issue. I don't know if you're aware
of that. I'll say.
Especially during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the holiday season...
Well, you know what we do? You just heard it on Stardate a moment ago, but we're giving away records to Long Island children, needy children at hospitals.
Yes.
You're making me say this? Well, what we do is we ask you to send us a card or a postcard or a letter or something and put your name and address on it. And we will donate a record in your name to one of these kids in the hospital. Now, all you have to do is send a postcard, letter, mailgram if you if you will, to WUSB Holiday Records, State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, and the zipper being 11794.
You know, we got an index card in the mail the other day. It was pretty interesting.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yes, and it was very nice handwriting, too.
It was very nice handwriting, but just an index card, nothing else. And, folks, that's really all you have to do is, you know, an index card would do it.
I was really impressed. I was looking at some of those replies we've gotten, and I was really impressed by the thought that a lot... Repressed, that too. Impressed by the thought that a lot of people were putting into these things.
Uh-huh.
If you'll excuse my hiccups.
Mike has the hiccups, if
yes.
You don't know.
Yeah, and so it really kind of flipped me out.
And he really did flip out, too.
Oh, and by the way...
Right over the railing on the second floor.
The most important, well, the least important, I think, the whole spiel here is... we'll pick out five of those cards or letters. Five. Gary Pecorino says, count them, five.
Five.
And we'll award those people 10 albums apiece.
10 albums apiece,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's a total of 50 albums.
Yeah, that we're giving away to your listeners. Yeah,
mm-hmm. To the listeners. Oh. And a lot more albums being given away to the kids in the hospitals.
Right.
Because we've gotten quite a bit of mail.
Scores, literally.
They're giving the mailman a hernia, but, it's
yeah,
the time of year they expect that type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, please, if you haven't sent them out, remember, they've got to be here by the 22nd, I believe.
Yeah, so get on the stick and get rolling. And
Tuesday.
All it costs you is a stamp. And once again, that address is
WUSB Holiday Records, State University of New York.
At Stony Brook.
Stony Brook, New York.
11794.
And if you're on campus, it doesn't even cost you postage. Do you know that? If you address it in a little envelope and you put an X where the stamp is supposed to be and you mail it on an on-campus mail location, it'll get delivered anywhere on campus for free.
Yeah.
And usually in the same amount of time, too. That's what it normally takes.
Oh, boy.
Don't want to say anything bad about mail service. Might get in trouble for that.
Yes.
We have quite a show planned for you tonight. In case you don't know, this is The Voice
of Long
Island. I'm Eric Corley, and that's Mike Uhas over there with the hiccups.
Yep. I'd like to hear from our listeners, if anybody has a cure for hiccups, how you cure them. I'd really like to get rid of them.
A non-violent cure this time, please.
Yeah.
We got some pretty elaborate suggestions from our listeners last time. Throwing Mike out the window.
Yeah, jump off the roof, and that way you don't have to worry about the hiccups anymore. But in any event...
Well, you know it, you know.
No, that's true. The number is 246...
79...
01, and the area code is
516. That's 516.
246-7901.
In Stony Brook. And if you have any holiday type of music you want to hear, too, we'll be happy to get that on for you. Any type of music we play.
And it doesn't even have to be holiday music.
That's true, too. Stay tuned. This is The Voice
of Long
Island.
We'll follow. Tonight I'm speaking with Mr. Ned Turner, chairman of the First Long Island Sound Bank.
Good evening.
Are you related at all to Ted Turner, the broadcast magnate and sailor?
No, actually I'm not. People ask me that all the time, but I am related to the Frankfurter restaurant chain. Can I say that on the radio?
Oh, you must mean Needick's.
No, actually it's Nathan's.
I didn't expect that with a name like Ned.
Well, I am related to the Nathans of Brewster on my mother's side. But I didn't come here to discuss
your family.
Right.
I came here to speak about your new banking
venture. That's right. The First Long Island Sound Bank, or as we like to call it, FLISBY, will be opening a drive-in branch in the middle of Long Island Sound.
A drive-in branch? Huh. Has this ever been tried before?
No, that's why we're called the First Long Island Sound Bank.
This new branch of yours, where exactly will it be?
About 9 miles off Strong's Neck, we're expecting.
Mm-hmm. You certainly won't get much business this time of year, would you?
Well, we're not expecting any business till the end of April, especially since we haven't built the bank yet. We'll be starting construction in about a month and a half, depending on the weather, of course.
I guess worker productivity does go down in extreme cold.
Well, we're hoping for 3 weeks in the teens, or negative numbers if you're in the Celsius range, to freeze the sound over so we can move our trucks out to start work. Alternative would be to build a branch in one of the nearby shipyards, like the Electric Boat Facility in Groton, Connecticut, or maybe Harilla Landing on Long Island, and then hire one of those big tugboats to haul it into position. But that's just a lot of added expense.
I see. What type of customer do you hope to attract?
Pleasure boaters, mainly, since the sound is used for recreation. We're also going to have an extended height gantry for passing tankers and that type of thing.
But one wonders about the real need for a floating bank. But what services will you be offering?
Savings and checking for the most part. We'll be offering those new high interest IRA accounts too.
Mm-hmm. Any certificates of deposit or those new all savers certificates?
No, we're going to try to keep it a little simple, especially since the people that we're planning on hiring are mostly retired seamen who don't know much about the operations of a bank. We're hoping to train them as we go along.
I see.
Hopefully in about 6 months we'll be able to get to the more complicated thing, retirement benefits, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Will you have any other non-banking services, like food and fuel?
Initially not. We may at some time in the future, however,
mm-hmm.
as we expand, of course.
I see. The First Long Island Sound Bank, eh?
Yep.
I don't recall ever hearing of it.
Well, we are growing. And in 1996, our motto is going to be faithfully serving our customers for 15 years.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ned Turner.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on this program
with
you.
We'll hope to see you at the groundbreaking ceremonies.
Oh, yes. I'll be there, and I hope you will be, too.
We'll cover it live.
All
thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
I'm Mark Stern, and every Monday morning right here on WUSB Stony Brook, we bring you the Folk Song Army. Here's hoping that your holiday season is a good one and that everybody makes it through for the next year.
Talk about a serious subject, Russians!
Now, there have been lots of Russian ships off our coast lately, so it's never too early to prepare for what to do when we're taken over by those Russians.
First off, everybody's gonna have to learn ballet dancing, and you can't wear sneakers anymore, only point shoes!
And not only will you not be able to own your own house, but you'll have to paint it pink!
They won't let you eat yummy good American food either. There won't be any more hot dogs and hamburgers, only borscht and pierogies.
And since Russians don't like imperialist dogs, man's best friend will be out in the cold. In fact, the only pet they'll let you keep is a bear.
Even entertainment will be drastically changed. The only movies they'll allow you to watch will be the Marx Brothers.
Beer will also be outlawed, so when you're sitting around watching Monday Night Russian Roulette on TV, you'll be forced to drink vodka.
So remember, kids, this is Spunky.
And Bunky reminding you that even if we're not overrun by the communist hordes,
don't play with blasting caps!
Hi, this is Arnie Pritchard. I come your way Monday evenings at 9 o'clock. For all of us at WUSB Stony Brook, Happy Christmas and Merry New Year.
Yeah.
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 Tell him, Arnie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right on, Arnie.
1224 on USB, the voice
of Long Island.
We have
a hiccupless announcer right now.
You lost your hiccups.
You don't hear them, do you?
No, I don't.
All right.
Well, was that due to someone's suggestion?
It could have been. We had a couple of suggestions, and
nice ones for a change.
Yes,
violent ones.
I thank you for those suggestions. I don't know if that had anything to do with them, but this can of fizzy stuff here, this can of soda pop, and some of those little chips, you know.
Yeah, they did the job. Huh?
They worked wonders. You know what I did today?
What?
My company had its Christmas party today.
Wow.
Yeah. I really had a great time.
That must have been fun.
That was. I am pooped dancing so much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You look like you've been on your feet for a good long time.
I took 3 showers today.
Wow.
And in the middle of winter, too.
Well, living proof that you can never be too safe.
Yeah.
Especially with Mike around.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. We have a special phone number, though.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to call it now, in fact.
Live and on the air.
Live and on the air.
We should play the interview theme because we are going to be interviewing this person. Or this person will be talking
this person will be talking to us, but I wouldn't say we're going to be interviewing them.
Yeah, well, in any event, you know, it's one of the crazy things we always do. We have telephone numbers that we get from various sources, oftentimes from our listeners, and we call up and, you know, just put it on the air and see whatever might happen to it. And here we go again.
Here we are.
Bring your mic over here a little closer. Nice ring.
Hello, boys and girls. It's Santa again. And today I have a story about Christmas on a wagon train. Circle the wagons. Usually that cry meant danger. But on December 25th, 1842, it meant that the line of canvas-covered wagons were stopping to celebrate Christmas on their way west. Children jumped from wagons and began playing with their friends. Mothers, who had been knitting during the long journey, wrapped the clothes they made as gifts for their families. And fathers walked out into the rolling hills to shoot mule deer, antelope, and prairie chicken for Christmas dinner. The older boys cut down sagebrush to create a festive Christmas atmosphere. They didn't have much money, boys and girls. But, oh, they had courage. This was the beginning of the westward expansion of America. Tomorrow, I'll tell you a story about Christmas with Daniel Boone. Oh, I can hear you.
Double style. Santa Claus. On the telephone. Talking about, they had spirit.
They certainly did.
I wonder if he's going to do anything about the Indians.
Sure,
they're a part of heading west, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder how their Christmases were.
Could be.
1227. And we have a lot of material coming your way.
just call it material.
Holiday material. And
non-holiday material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hi, Gary.
And Gary Pecorino, too. Why don't you step up and say hello in the microphone here?
Hello, everybody. How are you doing tonight?
You can call us up.
Hopefully as well as you are.
You can call us up and let us know. 246-7901.
We couldn't find White Christmas by Bing Crosby.
So what do we have, Mac the Knife?
We have Mac the Knife. The closest thing we can find. I'm sorry. But look, if people out there want anything special to hear, we probably won't find that either, but we'll pick something really close to it, and you'll be surprised.
Yeah, well, let's go.
So stay tuned.
Lay way back, you cats. Dig in. Bivouac, yes. Mr. Mac is moving in. Jackknife has McHeath dear, and he keeps it well out of sight. When a shark bites with his teeth dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves though. Where's McHeath, dear? So there's not a trace of red on the sidewalk Sunday morning. Lies a body oozing life. Someone's sneaking round a corner. Is that someone, Mac the Knife? From a tugboat by the river, a cement bag dropping down. Man, that's just for the weight, dear. I bet you Mac is back in town. Drawn out all of his cash, went Tap City and McHeath spent like a sailor. Did our boy do something right? Suki Togrin, Jenny Diver, Polly Beecham, Miss Lucy Brown. Hold the line for that bill. Now that Mac is back in town.
General Manager, and I'm Eric Corley, Program Director. And from all of us here at WUSB-FM, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
By special request, an instrumental version of Jingle Bells. Yeah, Jingle Bells, here on USB, the voice of Long Island, and that rendition was done by none other than Duke Ellington. And Christmas time always reminds me of New Year's, and New Year's always reminds me of Guy Lombardo. So here's a song by Guy Lombardo, and this is Maple Leaf Live. Whoops, there he is.
Very happy that CBC, the Television Network of Canada, are carrying our show throughout of Canada. And for our Canadian viewers, we're going to feature our twin pianos now and play the Maple Leaf Rag.
Thank you. college radio dying, or just my ratings? Hi, this is John DiBella, and I have a terrible problem. You see, the radio station that I work at has a grade point difference of 2.6 between that and USB. A fine radio station that I never get to hear because I don't listen to the radio. Well, I do listen to the radio, but only when I'm on. And after 4 hours of listening to me, you really don't want to hear anything else. But if I lived around Stony Brook, I would probably listen to this radio station. Then again, I lie a lot.
Would you boys like some milk and cookies?
Oh, well, thanks, Mrs. Rensenberg. You can just set them down right over there.
Are you ready to start, Chuck?
Is everybody here?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay, let's go. All rise. The fourth annual bi-monthly meeting of the Tri-County Garden Club is now underway. All right, folks, we've got a busy night ahead of us, so let's get started. Here with our opening remarks is our Tri-County Garden Club president, Chet Simon.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm happy to see so many people here tonight. And I'd like to first of all extend my sincere congratulations to Mabel Pittman for growing the biggest cantaloupes ever in Tri-County history this summer. And Jake Muschini had another dandelion-free front lawn this summer. That's the 22nd straight year for Jake, and if he goes another year, he'll tie the all-time Tri-County record. We're all rooting for you, Jake. And now, to move along to a more pressing issue, in fact, our main topic for tonight, namely, what is the Tri-County Garden Club going to do about the Libyan crisis? Now, as you know, our organization has been in existence for just about three-quarters of a century. And in that time, we've been accused on more than one occasion of straying from the issues. But in this particular instance, I feel that such a statement would be a gross injustice toward everybody in the Tri-County Garden Club. Libya is a country that concerns everybody. And garden clubs all over the country are becoming more and more concerned with the present situation in Libya. And I feel it's particularly important that we take some sort of definite action before it's too late. You have a question, John?
Yeah, Chet. I don't want to take any time away from you, but I'm just curious on a couple of points. Now, I joined this club in the middle of the hostage crisis, and that's when you folks were boycotting the Rain or Shine Nursery over in Hillsborough. Now that there's a crisis of sorts in Libya, are we going to hold another boycott or something like that?
Well, that's exactly what we're here to discuss tonight, John. Hopefully, before the night is through, we'll have developed a suitable course of action.
Oh, and that leads to my other question. That Rain or Shine Nursery over there in Hillsborough didn't really have a blessed thing to do with Iran or with the hostages. In fact, the family that owns the place has six generations of American stock behind them. So why the dickens did you boycott those poor folks?
Well, John, we debated that one for about 3 hours. Without going into elaborate detail, we've got a lot of things to discuss tonight. We decided to launch a symbolic boycott against the Rain or Shine Nursery simply because the letters in the word rain are the exact same as the ones in Iran.
Oh, all right. Well, I understand. That answers my question entirely.
Now, to get back to what I was talking about. This Libyan situation is a great deal more serious than many of us realize. Those guys over there are totally out of their minds. They shoot at our planes in the skies. Then they have the nerve to come over here and try to knock off members of our own government. But that's not all. We here at the Tri-County Garden Club always have our ears open so we can find out all sorts of interesting stuff. And in this case, we did. Now, I believe you have most of the information, right, Chuck?
Yeah, thanks, Chet.
We've been looking into the Libyans ever since we burned our last Iranian flag. From what I've gathered, they seem to be quite nasty and totally unresponsive to Midwestern garden clubs, such as ours.
Excuse me, Chet.
Yes, Mrs. Remsenberg.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea. We still have one Iranian flag left.
Oh, all right. Well, why don't you hold on to that for a while until we have some sort of an occasion to use it?
Oh, okay. Well, that's no problem. But do you want me to start making any Libyan flags? I'm not too certain I know what they look like.
That's not necessary, Mrs. Remsenberg, at least not at this point.
What Chuck is saying is that we have to analyze the entire situation before we can take any steps.
Right, that's right. Thanks, Chet. So,
you're welcome.
What we tried to do over the past couple of weeks was to find out exactly where these Libyans are coming from. And at the last executive board meeting, we decided that the best way to do this would be for us to contact some sort of a garden club over there in Libya. Someone we could identify with, you might say. Well, we tried since the beginning of the month to find some sort of an organization over there. We called all four corners of that confounded country, and it was all to no avail.
You're telling me you couldn't find a single garden club in the whole country?
Well, basically, Mr. Rudy, that's exactly it. It's pretty shocking. Country of Libya. Yes, Mrs. Donovan?
Are you absolutely certain about this, Chuck?
As certain as we can possibly be, Mrs. Donovan. We even looked up garden clubs in the yellow pages, but they just weren't there. In fact, we discovered that the yellow pages are really pink. So they're all messed up.
But how can we possibly begin to understand these people if they don't have any garden clubs?
They must be nothing more than a pack of wild barbarians.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Let's all calm down for a moment while I continue with our report. Now, come on, calm down. All right, now we ran up quite a phone bill trying to talk with these characters over there, a good many of whom didn't even have the common decency to speak English. So, as a last resort, we decided to call up the Libyan embassy over in Washington, D.C., to see once and for all how the Libyan government stands with regard to gardens. And Bob Taylor will now fill us in on that part of the investigation. Bob?
Thank you, Chuck. I was able to talk with the undersecretary to the assistant to the ambassador. She was very nice, and she answered all of my questions. And I think she was telling the truth when she told me the number of gardens in Libya was about equal to the number of snowy days in July in Savannah, Georgia. So you see the kind of situation we have here, Chuck.
I certainly do, and thank you, Bob. So now, folks, you know what we know, and it's really up to all of us to decide what kind of action we're going to take.
We've got to do something. They can't get away with this. It's bad enough that they openly badmouth the United States of America, but for God's sakes, no gardens in their entire country? We can't forget that we are a garden club, and hence, a nation like Libya is a direct threat to us.
We have to launch another boycott. That's all there is to it. And it has to be against the Rain or Shine Nursery in Hillsborough again.
Are you kidding? Why those poor folks again?
It's the only choice we have. Look, there's an A and an I in Libya, right? Well, there's also one in Rain. And that's their Y in the word nursery. I know it.
You people are a bunch of sissies. I've been in the Tri-County Garden Club for over 50 years, and I've never seen such dilly-dallying. Whatever happened to direct action? Why, back in the 1940s, we went out into Main Street and burned every last Japanese elm in town. Now, all we talk about is boycotts. It's disgusting.
Well, as far as I know, Mr. Carson, there aren't any Libyan plants in this town, or anywhere for that matter. Mrs. Remsenberg.
Didn't that family on Baker Street come from Tripoli, Texas?
And Tripoli's the capital of Libya.
Yeah, let's burn them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
quarter or twice. I'm in love with rock and roll, and I'll be out on high road. That's right.
This is Eric Corley, Program Director of WUSB, Stony Brook. I'd like to take this moment to say thanks to all you folks who've been listening over the past year. You've made us what we are today, Long Island's non-commercial alternative. And on behalf of all the wild characters who work on this station, have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and a totally crazy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.
Hey, check that out. He's really here.
I am really here.
Wow.
I'm here every time I say that on the air. In one form or another.
That worked out quite well, didn't it?
We heard Roadrunner from Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. Along with all sorts of other things. Now,
the Tri-County Garden Club?
I don't know about them, but we were listening to Bing Crosby before. We heard Mac the Knife. We also heard what was it? Maple Leaf Rag from
Guy Lombardo.
Guy Lombardo. Huh. That was good stuff too.
Yeah, good stuff.
And on that same album, he does a version of Mac the Knife. But we didn't play that.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, because we didn't want to be repetitious.
Tishous.
Yeah, we didn't want to be that. But we did manage to get something strange.
Yeah, you know how our listeners are always calling us up.
Helping us out.
Yeah, this time, this is the best thing that's ever happened to us, I think, on the phone. We had a young lady from Medford who would only identify herself as Lucy call up and say, "Hey, you want to hear White Christmas by Bing Crosby?"
Uh-huh.
And we said, "Sure." You know, we thought it was all a big joke. And she started playing it on a record. And I said, "Well, hey, you know, we can't pass up an opportunity like this." So I had her cue up the record. And we tape recorded it over the phone. You know, it'll sound like a 1940s vintage. But it comes complete with Bing whistling at the end and everything.
Well, do we have it now?
We have it now, and I think it's all queued up there, if you
all right, well,
press that button there.
Thanks to this person in Medford who was
thank
able
you, thank you very much, Lucy.
Was able to get this song we don't have. Now we have it, and let's hear it. Over the phone. Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Just like the ones That is amazing. I'm really impressed.
I'm impressed, too. I think that was just swell.
I mean, that sounded so good, and it came over the phone.
Of all things.
Bing Crosby. I mean, I heard the whistling as clear as day.
Especially since I was whistling along with him.
Oh, you were on the phone.
No, I was just whistling just now.
No, but I heard it over the speakers.
Oh, no, that was Bing, all right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, thank you, Lucy. That's one of the nicest things that anybody's ever done with us. Wow, it's now down to -2 degrees Celsius.
Isn't that something?
28F.
And that means if it starts precipitating now,
it's going to stick.
We're going to have, some real snow. Now, you know, I went on the air Tuesday night and I gave a little speech about this, about how I thought we should have more snow.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of people called up and said they agreed with me. They were sick of all this, we were lucky this time, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah. So, over the last couple of days, we've been shafted twice.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
It
was snowing very nicely one day, and then suddenly it stopped. And then we were supposed to get 3 to 5 inches yesterday, and we didn't get anything.
You know what I always
wanted to see?
I always wanted to just, like, walk down the street or something like that, and, you know, all of a sudden... Well, the weather forecaster says 3 to 5 inches of snow, and it all comes down in a blanket at once.
People get hurt.
Somewhat, yeah.
Quite a bit.
Can you imagine just a whole blanket? Boom.
Have you ever been hit by a snowball?
That's true.
I mean, snow can hurt.
Yeah.
It really can.
That's very true.
So imagine a few tons of it falling down at once.
Boom. Yeah, imagine the noise it would make.
We were supposed to get, 3 to 5 inches, and I'm really, kind of peeved that we didn't get anything more.
Dusting. Speaking of snow.
It washed away.
Speaking of snow.
Yeah.
Somewhat on a beaten path here, but this past week, I've been on the station for one whole year.
Well, how about that?
And one of the most interesting times I had was I was doing an overnight. It was, I guess, Christmas or New Year's or something. I don't remember. Around January, probably. And it was snowing out. It was snowing like the dickens.
Yeah.
If you'll pardon me.
I don't recall getting any snow last year. We didn't have some snow.
Oh, we had some good snows.
And not last year.
Yes, last year.
Not very heavy ones.
Yes, but good ones. Not 3 foot deep. But this, we had some snow. And the strangest thing, I'm playing some records, just having a good time. I'm the only one in the station, the only one in the building for that matter. As far as I know, I was the only one within 5 miles of this place. And all of a sudden, I hear the strangest noise. Like, it sounded like somebody was rolling a 55-gallon drum down the hall outside.
And someone was rolling a 55-gallon drum outside the hall.
Wrong.
Oh.
They were snow plowing the bridge.
Oh, the bridge to nowhere, which now goes somewhere.
It goes somewhere now.
That sounds, it does sound like a 55-gallon drum when they plow the bridge.
Yeah, that's the strangest thing. And nobody had told me, if they plow the bridge, it'll sound like a 55-gallon drum rolling down the hall.
The whole building vibrates.
It sure did.
Oh, it's quite an experience.
I remember doing an overnight and coming home around 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, and shoveling my driveway out. And I'm shoveling, and all of a sudden...
I remember this.
Yeah, this guy comes by with a snowplow. And he smiles at me. He backs into my driveway, and he plows my driveway clean in 2 swipes. And he smiles, and he takes off, and he didn't have any chance for me to give him a tip or anything. It's really nice.
Did you ever see him again?
Never. I had never seen him before that either.
Things like that don't happen to me anymore. They never really did happen to me. I've always had to shovel my driveway.
Hmm.
Most of us have, Mike. You've had it easy.
I guess I must have. That was the easiest time I ever had it. But it was the strangest thing. I was just shoveling away, and all of a sudden, hey!
Are you sure he really existed? It didn't just appear like a fairy godmother or something?
Well, yes. He drove up the street. I don't know exactly what happened, but I'd never seen him before or since. One of the nicest guys I'd ever want to meet, even though I really didn't meet him.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if everyone who had a snowplow did that for at least one person.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it would make them feel better.
I can just see somebody, a New York State Department of Highways truck, Department of Transportation, one of those big, huge monsters backing into your driveway. The things are so big it'll overlap onto your grass.
Knock down a couple of trees, too.
And your mailbox.
Wow, that would be something. One of those tractors. I remember they imported the tractors from Buffalo in 1970. What was it, 1978?
Yeah.
When we had the two big blizzards?
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
I saw them going down the 3470s, yeah. These big, huge things are like insects, you know, something crawling in, invasion of something.
And they came all the way from Buffalo? How long did it take them to get here?
Well, you know, they can travel on those roads, so it didn't really matter about the weather. But that was a fun year.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back at that, it might have been a real pain to shovel your driveway
and then have
to shovel it again when it came down the second time. But when you think back...
again when the snowplow went by on the street.
That's right. In fact, there were several cases of people who got really upset at that snowplow and started attacking them.
Yeah, in Chicago, especially, a couple of years ago.
And I remember the authorities were saying, I mean, this is the most stupid thing we've ever seen. I mean, these people are plowing the street so you can get around, and here you are attacking them. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Well, coming up my driveway, you know. You can understand their feelings, but still, it's kind of unreasonable to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to hear any stories you may have on snow.
What did we get that year? 20 inches one time and another 20?
I remember having guests stuck over at the house that night or that one time.
Everybody has a story.
And
I remember the radio station here. That was a long time ago, but people were stranded here.
Oh, boy.
I believe Captain Kirk, back in those days, he was here. And
he did one of his marathon runs, huh?
Yeah, we were on the air broadcasting and then telling people what was canceled. After a while, we just started telling people what was not canceled because that was a lot shorter than going through the actual list. But those are the best, you know, the best occasions when you have crises, as they say plurally, I think.
Yes. Crises.
So let's hope for more of those,
right.
Please. If we all
more
concentrate.
Snow. More
can,
snow.
Yeah, we
more
can do it.
Snow. Yeah.
We can.
But wait a minute. I've got a long trip ahead of me this morning.
Oh, come on. It's a challenge. You know, I drove around in a 1966 Impala with no snow tires that winter.
I remember that last winter. And remember the time when you called up saying, somebody, come help me. I have a flat tire. And when I got there to help you, you had two flat tires.
Yeah, well, I had a double blowout, which was pretty interesting. Seeing as how I never had one before. Suddenly, I'm going down this 55-mile-an-hour road, and suddenly, boom, boom. There I am, you know, can't move anymore. But I figured, if I have a blowout, shouldn't that be, you know, flipping over into the other lane, bursting to flames, that kind of stuff? But no, apparently it doesn't always work that way.
That car wasn't capable of speeds to go flipping over.
Oh, no, it was.
Really?
In fact, I was doing about a good 50 miles an hour when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was...
saying that because you're thinking the police are listening now, and if you said you were going 70, they'd come and give you a ticket, right?
Well, it's kind of after the fact. The car has been retired.
I guess the statute of limitations is up, right?
I would think so. I would hope so.
Speaking of statues, what's happening with this?
What?
I know it's not. I know it's not statue. What's happening with the tripod family?
The tripod. Oh, you mean in their search for the
elusive
statue?
Gaulle, yeah.
Statue in Paris. You know, I haven't really heard anything. I usually read the liner notes of the tripod tapes when they come in,
because
they sort of give a roundup of what's going on.
Yeah.
For the last couple of weeks, they have not been mentioning Kathy or Howard, who are
or Boris,
their friend in Paris, looking for that statue. They were, last we heard, they were trapped in the tunnel.
Yeah,
somewhere in Paris, and it was kind of, you know, well,
rough.
Frightening. I would be frightened being stuck in a tunnel. In a foreign country.
In the sewers.
In a sewer system, actually.
That's true. With urinals flushing and everything.
Yeah, some really strange noises.
That's true. And frogs. Well, anyway, lest we forget, it's about 5 minutes past the hour of one. You're tuned to WUSB.
Stony Brook.
And what's this you have queued up?
You know, I heard, before you go into that, I heard a rumor. A
Graham Parker?
No, this is a regular rumor. And it was that Captain Christopher and Uncle Rodney have a special Christmas program.
Oh, boy.
And it's going to be coming up very soon. And that's by reliable sources.
If you want to get in touch with us, the number here is 246-7901. And the area code is
516.
If you want it, this is Buddy wishing you a happy Christmas and a Merry New Year on WUSB Stony Brook.
Come
David Durst for USB Business Digest. On behalf of everybody at WUSB Stony Brook, I'd like to wish you a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a healthy and profitable New Year.
Ready?
Hi, kids. It's time now for the Captain Christopher and Uncle Rodney Christmas Show. And boy, do we ever have a load of great things for you today. Here's Uncle Rodney to tell you all about it.
Thanks, Captain Christopher. Well, here we are in December again, in the coldest month of the year, especially for you poor people.
Does the heat in your apartment building stop working as soon as it gets cold outside?
And your fascist landlord refuses to do anything about it?
Well, it never gets cold in Ronald Reagan's house. Think about that for a while, kids.
Does that make you angry?
Like someone's not rolling the dice fairly?
Wouldn't a Marxist revolution solve some of those problems, kids?
Justice for the working man?
Power to the people?
Get those nasty, rich parasites off our backs once and for all?
Struggle, fight, revolt! Struggle, fight, revolt! Struggle, fight, revolt!
And now, in keeping with the holiday spirit, Uncle Rodney and I have a little surprise for you.
Bourgeois pigs, see them on the street. When the revolution comes, they won't look quite so neat. Bourgeois pigs, your time is running out. As the working masses rise, you'll sink without a doubt. Hey, you kids out there, revolt is in the air. And if you really care, you'll join us folks out there. Through the rain and snow, we'll smash the rich, you know. We'll sing a song of woe when their blood begins to flow.
Oh!
Bourgeois pigs, you're a dying breed. Everybody knows it's true, you're just a dirty weed. Bourgeois pigs, you'd better start to run. Because when Uncle Marx is here, we're gonna have such fun.
Yeah! Go with the communism!
Jar Rastafari!
Oh, that really was nice, Captain Christopher. It certainly gets me into the holiday spirit.
And I hope all you boys and girls are getting into the holiday season with official Uncle Rodney and Captain Christopher red candles that explode when you try to extinguish them. Be sure to contact this radio station to get yours.
We have to go to our official Christmas party now, kids, but we want to leave you with this thought.
Did you ever notice how this person called Santa Claus seems to like rich people more than poor people?
Did you ever notice how much Santa Claus looks like Uncle Sam?
Think about that for a while, boys and girls.
And we'll be back again real soon, next time, with more exciting stories and songs just for you.
So until then,
smash the capitalist pigs!
Glory to the revolution!
This is Uncle Rodney.
And I'm Captain Christopher.
Bye!
Bye!
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every see the King. Let every heart prepare His room. To the world the Savior reigns, let them their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains,
repeat the sounding joy.
Here rules the world with truth. And makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness,
and wonders of His love. We're WUSB, your beautiful music station.
Hey, I know, you are me.
It's really got me in the groove. No, no, no. J.C. Lodge, and whenever I'm in Long Island, I listen to WUSB, Stony Brook.
You know, Mike, it was just a week ago, that I met June Lodge.
No, a week ago today.
Oh, it's today. Yes,
yeah,
it is today already.
Yeah.
Oh, a week ago today. How time flies. And Pablo Moses was here, and oh, it was so much fun.
Did you meet him too?
No, I didn't meet Pablo Moses, but I
woke up too late for that.
Yeah.
Myself, yeah.
Yeah. But June Lodge, I couldn't believe June Lodge was actually here.
All people, our idol,
JC Lodge. JC Lodge. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
What did we hear?
We heard the Meditations,
yeah.
Courtesy of Errol and Philip and the whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's on from 7 to 9 on Fridays with Rockin' Iration.
Or as some people would say, Rockin' Irritation.
Very few.
Well, some.
Some might.
Yeah. Well,
we have the tripods.
They're coming up real soon.
But Al Oikel is here. And he's
Al
got a,
Oikel.
He's got a message for us.
And he's not even going to say Merry Christmas.
I'm not sure. He might.
We live in a world troubled by the fear of a military power forcing a people to live in an unwelcome occupation, of warnings to people to leave their Middle East jobs and to go back to their homes. It is a world in which holiday gifts have been brought in an atmosphere of economic recession, a world in which oppression and depression have created a kind of desperation for optimism. This is how it is 1,981 years later. I hope you'll join me, Al Oikel, Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the SUNY Side Up program, 1,981 years later. Together with Professor Peter Manchester and Professor Robert Goldenberg, we'll examine the world of today and the world of 1,981 years ago.
That's SUNY Side Up, Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. On USB.
And another one of those famous programs. This is Wednesday morning.
Oh, Wednesday morning. There's another program. What's,
At 10 o'clock. It's called
Curtain Up! Curtain Up.
And you can hear it here every Wednesday with your host, Deirdre Hackensack Jersey.
Oh. We're going to get a telephone call on the pink line in a second.
Yes, I'm sure we will.
Deirdre Hackensack Jersey? That's not nice. What's the name of that program again?
It's, what? SUNY Sign Up?
No, that's SUNY Sign Up.
Oh, you must mean
Curtain Up! Curtain Up, that's right.
Yes.
We have the tripods coming very soon in the next 2 minutes, something like that.
Right after this tune.
Thank you. Radio Free Long Island, in oscillation with the Three Villains Tobacco Farms, presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we left our friends last week, Charlie and Pop were getting ready to start a new bread baking business. And as we look in on the Tripod household today, Charlie is making his way over.
Oh, come on in, Charlie. I was just getting the oven warmed up.
Thanks, Mr. Tripod. I hope you're in a bread-baking mood.
Oh, yes. It's been such a long time since I've done it. It makes me kind of nostalgic just thinking about all those rising loaves.
Well, I was up till about 2:30 in the morning thinking about how this bread-baking business of ours is going to operate. First of all, what are we going to call it?
Well, I took that into consideration for quite some time myself, Charlie, and I decided that since we're running a business that bakes bread and delivers it to people's houses, we should have a name that reflects that.
I agree. So what did you come up with?
The Long Island Bread Baking and Home Delivery Service.
Oh. Well, that's okay, I guess. Well,
what's the matter? You don't like it?
Well, it is kind of a mouthful, Mr. Tripod. Didn't you think of anything a little bit shorter?
Yes, I did, actually.
Well, what was it?
Bread.
Just bread?
Well, it's short and to the point.
Well, that's true, but it's... Well, we can come back to the name a little later on. Let's talk about what we're actually going to do, though.
We're going to make bread!
Well, it's not quite that simple, Mr. Tripod. I mean, first of all, we need customers. And the only way to get them is to let them know we exist somehow.
Well, how do we do that?
We have to take out a newspaper ad or do a commercial or something along those lines.
That's a great idea. Let's do it.
Well, which do you want to do, Mr. Tripod?
All of them.
But we can't do all of that. At least not yet.
Why the devil not?
Because it costs money, Mr. Tripod. Lots of money. More than either of us have, I'm sure.
But... You just found $50,000 worth of diamonds in that statue Kathy broke.
Well, that's true, but you're forgetting how quickly all that money got spent. And don't forget, I bought that Bulgarian step van, so I've made an investment in our corporation already.
Are you hinting that I should put some of my money into this business too, Charlie?
Well, you don't have to invest all that much, Mr. Tripod. But since we are going into this bread-baking business together, we should share equally, both the profits and the losses.
Wait just one doggone minute. You never said anything about losses. I'm doing this so I could make a lot of money and buy a sports car or something. I'm not planning on losing anything.
Well, neither am I, Mr. Tripod, but everybody knows that in order to make a lot of money, you have to first spend a little.
Oh, I don't know, Charlie.
Trust me, I've done this kind of thing many times before.
Yeah, all right. Let's say we do invest a little money. What are we going to spend it on?
Well, at this point, I'd say the only thing we could really afford is a low-budget radio commercial.
A radio commercial?
Yes, but we'd have to make it ourselves.
We could do that.
Well, it's not as easy as it sounds, Mr. Tripod.
Well, I know I could do it anyway.
Well, it takes some practice, you know.
I've been on the radio before, you know.
You have?
Yeah. They asked me what I thought of President Eisenhower. And I told them...
Well, that's good that you've had some experience. I guess we should contact one of the big radio stations and make an appointment. Where's your phone book?
Right over there, on that shelf. Oh, I can see it now, a radio commercial. Millions of people.
I'll get that, Mr. Tripod.
I wonder who on tarnation that could be.
Yes? What can I do? Oh, my gosh.
Surely. What is it?
And so, as Charlie and Pop are discussing their prospects for their brand new business, a mysterious stranger knocks on the Tripod door and shoots Charlie. You'll want to be with us next time. We may find out who that mysterious person is. That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
December, and the snow was falling softly around the runners of a big black sleigh moving through the streets of the city. Wind whipped around the hunched figures of two men as the sleigh zzzzed along through the snow. The two men were Dr. Clement Moore and his old Dutch handyman, Peter. Moore was tired. He was very tired. He'd been all over mid-Manhattan since the early part of the afternoon, delivering Christmas presents to his neighbors and his friends. Now the daylight was all just about gone, and Moore was eager to get home. But just a little uneasy about his arrival at home. Mrs. Moore had planned a Christmas party for that evening, and Dr. Moore had rashly promised his three children that he would entertain at the party with a little poem that he was going to write for the holiday. Now Moore was sorry that he had made the promise. What with delivering the presents, he hadn't had time to work on a poem. Well, Christmas poems weren't really in his line of work anyway. Dr. Moore was a scholar, a professor of Oriental languages in the General Theological Seminary of New York. Scholarship was more to his taste. As for the Christmas poem, well, maybe this time he might just have to disappoint the children. Moore looked over at Peter, sitting beside him in the sleigh. Peter had just let out a great sneeze, and his broad face and round body shook with the effort. Peter was using an immense handkerchief to blanket his nose, which had turned cherry red from the cold. His soft beard, white with snow, bobbed as he said,
"Not too long now, sir. Less than an hour and we'll be home."
And then Peter gestured toward the sky and added,
"A cold night, yes, but a fine one."
Moore looked up. Peter was right. It was a fine night. A full moon was out, bathing the trees and houses and road in a silvery light. How could I put it, thought Moore? Perhaps the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. Not bad. Part of a poem, anyway. And with a kind of grumpy satisfaction, Moore filed it away in his memory. He watched as Peter whistled, then shouted to the horse. The sleigh flew swiftly over the winter snow. But, Moore thought, hardly fast enough. If only they could fly through the air, pulled by some strange creatures of winter. Reindeer, maybe. Reindeer would be wonderful. 8 strong reindeer. Then, thought Moore, Peter would spring to his sleigh, to his team give a whistle, and away they would fly like, yes, like the down of a thistle. A mad dream, particularly since the sleigh seemed not to be going faster, but slower. "What's wrong, Peter?" said Moore. "Why are we stopping?" Peter jumped off the sled and called back.
"It's nothing, sir. Just a moment. Part of the harness has come loose from the single tree."
Moore watched as the old servant worked the strap back on the swinging bar. And as Peter crouched in the moonlight, the snow clinging to his beard, Moore had an inspiration. It seemed that Santa Claus was right there before him. In old Peter's face and figure, Moore sensed all of the goodness and warmth of Christmas. And so, working with Peter as his principal character, Moore continued to work on the poem all the way home. Then when he reached the house, he rushed into the study so that he could get it all down in pen and ink. It wasn't much, really, just a bit of doggerel. But Moore was certain that the children would enjoy it that evening. He was right. As he read his simple poem that night, the eyes of each child shone like the lights of the nearby Christmas tree. But what Clement Clark Moore didn't know that night, so long ago, was that his simple poem was destined for children yet unborn, children who would always listen with wide-eyed rapture whenever the opening lines were spoken.
"'Twas the night before Christmas,
when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama, in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap, when, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face, and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. Then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Hi. I'm Norm Trustwin, General Manager, and I'm Eric Corley, Program Director. And from all of us here at WUSB-FM, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Whose idea was that? I'm not telling. The USB sleigh bell theme. In stereo, no less. And there it goes, off into the distance. Well, what time is it, Mike?
It's 1:58.
Time for the USB news. And today
is...
No, this is your story.
Oh.
Today is Saturday, December 19th, the 353rd day of 1981. It is also my uncle's birthday. There are 12 days left in the year.
Says that on the AP? Wow.
No, but it is my uncle's birthday.
How about that? Happy birthday, Uncle Mike. Uncle Love Mike.
Yes, that's better. Uncle Love Mike. On December 19th, 1946, war broke out in Indochina as troops under Ho Chi Minh launched widespread depression widespread attacks against the French. In 1941, Adolf Hitler dismissed his chief of staff and took personal command of German army. In 1972, the Apollo 17 spacecraft splashed down on target in the Pacific Ocean, ending the United States Apollo program of landing men on the moon. 1 year ago, Iranian officials negotiating the release of 52 American hostages demanded that there be billions of dollars in Iranian assets frozen by the U.S. government be deposited in an Algerian bank. Today's birthdays, Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev is 75 years of age, and actress Cicely Tyson is 42.
I always knew Cicely Tyson and Leonid Brezhnev had something in common.
Yeah.
It's good to see that they both came out on the news today.
And my uncle as well.
Yeah, your uncle and Leonid Brezhnev were born on the same day.
I don't think he's that old.
No, I don't mean on the same. I mean on the same day of the year.
I don't
know which year.
Oh, right. You know, we should, before we get further on.
You want to say what we just played?
Yeah, we just.
That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was Robert J. Lertzema from his album Christmas Stories. We heard, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and since 1971, Robert J. Lertzema. What's the matter? Robert J. Lertzema has been the host and producer of the popular musical classic music program Morning Pro Musica.
In the news, reports from Poland say there are continued shortages and panic buying as Catholics prepare for the Christmas holidays, and the Yugoslav news agency Tanjug says private farmers in Poland have been withholding food deliveries since last Sunday's imposition of martial law. An Associated Press reporter in Warsaw reports long lines at food shops and sub-freezing temperatures, but Warsaw Radio describes Poland as being in an interim period. Sorry. Moving towards order and overcoming its crisis. Thank you. The United Nations General Assembly has recessed its 36th session until early next year. The world body on Friday adopted a record UN budget and paid farewell tributes to Secretary General Kurt Waldheim. He's leaving his post after serving 10 years, and he's being succeeded January 1st by Peruvian diplomat Javier Perez de Cuellar. Earlier at the UN, Arab diplomats welcomed, with some skepticism, President Reagan's decision to suspend implementation of the U.S.-Israeli Strategic Cooperation Agreement. The administration took the action because of Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights, and U.S. officials leave open the possibility of more retaliatory measures against the Jewish state. Mike?
It's a good thing they didn't leave open their fly. Just hours after the Justice Department... Sorry. Just hours after the Justice Department moved to revoke his citizenship, a railroad employee was killed Friday when he was struck by a train in suburban Chicago. Authorities don't know if it was an accident or suicide. The employee, Albert Deutscher, was the target of a Justice Department lawsuit seeking to strip him of his United States citizenship. The government accused Deutscher of being part of a Nazi paramilitary group which murdered Jews during World War II. A coalition of public interest and state groups in California is trying to get President Reagan to say cheese. The coalition wants the president to free up to 22 million pounds of surplus cheese in time to give it to the poor for Christmas. But an Agriculture Department official said earlier this week that the distribution may be against the law. The cheese is part of an estimated 722 million pounds of American and cheddar cheese the federal government is keeping in storage as part of its dairy commodity program. That's an awful lot of cheese.
It is, isn't it?
The nation's second-largest daily newspaper is up for sale. The Tribune Company, based in Chicago, says it's now willing to listen to what it calls serious offers from the New York for the New York Daily News. I'm making you that tired? For the New York Daily News. The paper faces a reported $11 million deficit for this year. It's not known what price the Tribune Company will ask for the news.
there something the matter?
No, I'm sorry, just observing a moment of silence for all the snow that we never got. You'll get into the weather in a second. Tell us about that.
Where's the weather?
I hope you find it by the time I finish giving the local scores here.
Okay.
From the National Basketball Association, the New York Knicks defeated Chicago 121-106. It's New Jersey 100, Milwaukee 98. One game in hockey, Colorado 3, Vancouver 1, Mike.
USB Long Island weather's calling for partly cloudy conditions overnight. Lows in the 20s Fahrenheit. Right now it's minus 2 degrees Celsius. That's 28 Fahrenheit. And you're tuned to Long Island's non-commercial alternative at 90.1 FM.
WUSB.
In stereo. Stony Brook, of course. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Did somebody just walk into the studio?
Yes. Somebody just walked into the studio.
Well, why don't you say something, somebody?
Jingle bells, jingle bells. I'm Mike Bifoco, and I'm wishing you a very wary Christmas and a slap happy new year from WUSB in Stony Brook.
Gee, wasn't that swell of Mike Bifoco?
Yeah, he just dropped by and said that.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, it's time for our 2 o'clock album side at
2:05.
Okay, good enough for me.
Yeah.
What do we have today?
Well, we have...
Hello, sports fans. Here's hoping that your holiday season will be a big hit. I'm Rick Silverman, and I'll be keeping you up to date on all the sports action for WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, now after that, what do we have?
We have a request. This album side was requested by our general manager, and when Norm Fruslin talks, nobody listens.
No, but we play his albums anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Now and then. This is a Christmas album.
And not only were we going to play the album side, we're going to play
both sides, because it's kind of a short album.
In deference to Norm.
True.
Yeah. So what it is the Paul Revere and the Raiders, A Christmas Present and Past, right here on
90.1 FM. And this is
the voice
of
Long
Island.
Yes, it's Christmas time once again. You know, and one of the many sounds of Christmas is the Salvation Army Street Band. One of the many sounds of Christmas is the Salvation Army Street Band. One of the many sounds of Christmas is the Salvation Army Street Band. There's no mistaking that sound. That's a genuine Salvation Army Street Band. You know, these guys come out here every year, and it's not easy playing in one of these bands at below zero temperatures. Fingers are numb and lips are blue. It's no picnic. These guys could use a little your appreciation. Next time you pass the band, take a little time and drop a coin in the pot. You'll get a nice, friendly smile from the lady with the bell, and you'll feel a lot better inside. These guys are just like the band on your corner of your town, USA. Let's take some time and hear the band, shall we? Thank you very much, guys. Now let's get on with some more fine music from this album. Oh, that's fine, guys. Now let's hear some more different kind of music from this album. Thanks very much for coming out, guys, but that's enough. Take five. Thank you very much, but all the musicians can go home now.
Look at all the people hurrying by. No one's got time to smile. Each one's busy in his own particular way. Hurrying nowhere, don't even know why. Mile after lonely mile. Here's advice to brighten up their day. Wear a smile at Christmas. No one likes, no one likes to see a frown. Wear a smile at Christmas. No one likes, no one likes you when you're down.
My fellow Americans, be merry. Count your blessings for a while.
Wear a smile at Christmas. Wear a Christmas So you gave a check to the cleaning man, and you flashed your big smile as he offered his hand. And after you shook it, you rushed again. And that don't seem like brotherly love. At Christmas time, who'd be such a fool as to not abide by the golden rule? Yet we send our children to different schools, and they don't see much brotherly love. We say it's truth that we want to find, but our ears are stone and our eyes are blind. The answer's been there for as long as time. He said, let there be brotherly love.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to Valley Forge, Christmas 1775. You are there.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Any resemblance between this situation and present or future conflicts is purely coincidental.
It's Christmas time at last. I thought I'd get a pass, but I'm stuck at Valley Forge, behind our General George. He says we gotta fight, no matter on the right. And so we fight the war. I wonder what it's for. The general says we'll lose. We don't pay our dues. It's hard to see the foe. They're hiding in the snow. We're losing lots of men. The water's up again. But so is the sky. Hold out.
Dear Mr. Claus, I'm writing you this note. Please pay attention to the words I've wrote. It's getting very lonely here at home. I think I'd like a special someone I can call my very home. Dear Mr. Claus, won't you bring me a real live doll? 'Cause I've been very, very good. Dear Mr. Claus, won't you bring me a real live doll? You must have a thousand. You can do it if you would. Won't you bring me a real live doll? I'd like a special shrimp that looks delicious. Won't you bring me a real live doll? I'm tired of cleaning all the pots and pans and dirty dishes. You can make her head to Santa black. Santa Claus, there's some on her head.
There's a good fellow.
Won't you bring me a real live doll? And I'll be good next year. And I'll be good next in many skirts and painted smiles are driving Daddy wild. Salvation Army bands play Christmas songs. No one sings along. To cheer them on, the people drop a dime. It's Christmas time.
Christmas
chimes are ringing clear. It's very still.
Well, what we just heard was all of side one and side two of the Paul Revere and the Raiders Christmas album. And Eric's going to hand me the thing there so I can tell you exactly what the tunes are. Excuse him. We heard on side one, Introduction, Wear a Smile at Christmas, Jingle Bells, Brotherly Love, Rain, Sleet, and Snow, and Peace. Then on side two, we heard Valley Forge, Dear Mr. Claus, Macy's Window, Christmas Spirit, and A Heavy Christmas Message.
Heavy.
All from Paul Revere and the Raiders. That's our album side for tonight.
Album two sides, actually.
Yeah.
Such a special occasion that we decided, and also because both of the album sides were kind of...
short.
Yeah. We decided to play both sides. So that's very nice. Paul Revere and the Raiders. And I hope Norm was listening. Don't you?
Yeah. Is it still going?
The record is, yes. You want me to stop it?
Well, bring up the scratches a little bit more. That's right. Continuous record skipping for 3 hours. Where else do you hear it?
Nowhere else, but... Whoops. There we go. No more record skipping.
No more.
But we do have someone else who just walked into the studios. Some music.
Hello, this is Steve Blyberg. I'm on Wednesday mornings between midnight and 3 a.m. And on behalf of myself and WUSB Stony Brook, we all wish you a very swinging holiday season.
And there's a man with style.
Yeah.
Comes on after me every Tuesday night. Comes on at midnight. And it's funny, every week, right around the middle of my show, he shows up on his bicycle. And invariably, every Tuesday night, it's raining.
Yeah.
Or snowing or something nasty.
Yeah, I was doing that this week.
But every week, he makes it through at exactly the same time.
I like Steve's shows.
Yeah.
They're very relaxing.
They certainly are. Steve Blyberg.
Steve Blyberg.
Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings on USB.
Yeah.
You're Mike Juhas.
And you're Eric Crowley, aren't you?
I think so. And this is Saturday morning, Friday night type thing, you know?
And with
the voice of Long Island.
Long Island.
Would you like to hear another voice of Long Island?
Sure.
Here he is.
Hi, I'm Steve Speck, engineer here at WUSB in Stony Brook, and I'd like to wish you all a happy holiday season.
I like that one. I think that's one of my favorites.
I like
favorites.
That, too. That's a good swinging one, you know?
Yeah.
I like this one as well.
Well, you have something queued up there, don't you?
I certainly do. I guess, should I tell you what it is? Or
no.
I won't tell you what it is. I'll just play it. How does that sound?
Good.
On the voice of Long Island as our theme winds down to a close? Well, not quite. There it goes.
There it goes.
It's gone now. 2:37, and here's something from the National Lampoon.
Out of New Bedford, 21 years on the good ship Columbine.
Hey! The Whalers. That don't sound like no reggae music.
That's Irish reggae, darling.
Will you just reach over and change stations, lover?
It's 4:15 outside. It's a beautiful day. And here comes the number one song we're going to play for you right now. So rock and roll.
You were born in a shack in the summer.
Then it's the more sugar.
Your high problem with your IQ.
Oh, no, more to the left. More.
Of rock.
That's nice.
You like that, huh?
Now all the way down the dial, darling.
This is present. And
oh, there. Yeah. Leave it there.
Don't care,
having good times. But there's one time of year that brings joy to one and all.
When every rain has a smile on its face.
Show me all the colors that put you up and down. Singing with you as that band is getting down. Holiday colors of rain green.
And it says,
have a Kung Fu Christmas.
Have a Kung Fu Christmas.
Living in the ghetto, you always do. They'll shoot you for your socks, and they'll stick you for your shoes. When you're a super bad dude, you pay a super bad dues. Lots to lose. Got a pink moon sleigh, a red and white fur suit. He's a super fly guy, and he's awful cute.
He's about to arrive, ringing jingle bell chime.
And a cop begins to fall train soon, sticking down the middle with that machine.
Hey, baby.
Yes, darling.
I'd like to do something extra special for you on this Christmas.
What's that, baby?
I just want to make you feel real good.
How you gonna do that, sugar?
I thought maybe I'd buy you a big house in the south of France.
Oh, I don't want to live in France.
Well, why don't I buy you a big glass bottom boat then, honey?
Oh, darling, I don't want no fish looking at my skirt.
Oh, sweetheart, I just want to make you feel good.
So what you gonna do, darling?
Well, I'll tell you what, baby. Let me ask you, what do you want for Christmas?
Well, baby, I just want a Kung Fu Christmas.
Thank you.
Curtain up to you and a wish for a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, too. I'm Deirdre Jersey from WUSB Stony Brook, wishing you and yours good health, good fortune, and love for this holiday season.
Good luck!
Why, thank you, Deirdre.
Thank you, Deirdre.
That's Deirdre Heckensack Jersey.
Oh, that's not nice. You shouldn't say things like that, or you will pay the price someday.
Really?
Really.
Oh, boy.
Really, 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 really.
2:59, you know, we're on our way up. That's true, and it's about time for Rob Zeiser to come on in.
It most certainly is.
This is a great album. I recommend it to anybody who's listening.
It's on Alligator Records, of all things.
Yeah, it's really amazing. All the songs seg into each other. It goes on forever. Black Slate is the name of the record. We only got it a month ago, and I just noticed it now. The album's called Rasta Festival.
Yeah.
It's on Alligator Records and Takers.
Well, Eric, it's been a real pleasure and a privilege being here tonight.
It certainly has, and we've hit all ends of the spectrum tonight, I think.
Yes, we have.
We have a new mystery. Who shot Charlie?
And who knows who shot Charlie?
Who shot Charlie on the tripods?
Like, tune in. And
why?
Wait a minute. What's going on for the next 2 weeks? We're doing something special, huh?
Next 2 weeks, we're going to have a special year-end wrap-up of The Voice of Long Island.
And the best.
The best, the worst.
The worst.
The most memorable moments.
Yeah, like when I got an ice cube dropped down on my back.
We might skip them. But who knows? You want to tune in the next 2 weeks, and we'll be back again next year.
Right.
With some brand new editions of The Voice of
Long
Island.
Anyway, Rob Zeiser's waiting in the wings.
Huh?
Take you.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, Rob. Waiting in the wings. Take you through on a Saturday morning, Friday night, whatever we have.
Yeah. Whatever this concoction of stuff is.
Let me remind you, you are listening to WUSB
Stony Brook,
New York,
11794.
And if you want to play with some more numbers and call us up, we'll be here for a little while.
Yeah, about 5 minutes. Yeah. 246-7901. And the area code is
516. And we'll see you next week.
On a Saturday night? No, Friday night is Saturday morning.
Right.
Good night.
Bye, Mike Uhas.
Goodbye, Eric Corley. Have a good year.
Yeah.
As it said at 8 a.m. out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go. At the local, no. When my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a